SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Ashley Nicole Moss, but I am not solo dolo. I got the squad with me, 10-year NFL defensive lineman, Legere Douzeball. What's up, Douz?
What up, man? This is weird for me, right? You know, usually where you're at, and, you know, yeah. Delegating those hosting, you know, privileges to you today. So it's weird in this seat, but I'm actually kind of comfortable, and I like just sitting on the side and being able to just give my opinion.
Well, listen, I've seen you the past few days, but I am very excited about who we also have on the show. Former WNBA star and trick shot artist. We forgot the doctor, but I'm going to put it in there. Dr. Auntie Chantel Trematere.
Heaven, Ashley. We back. I missed y'all. And unlike dude, I don't want to be in your seat. Let me talk shit and let me just do what I do. I'm so happy to be here with y'all. It's good to see y'all again. Let's get it started.
It's a good show because we got a lot to get into. Listen, obviously, you know, some decisions have been made in the NBA. We're going to preview the New Jersey Jets. Dude,
stop being disrespectful. New York Jets.
We're going to dive into the Minnesota Vikings. Two preseason games happening as we do this show. And also, we got to talk about, you know, the Browns making some rainy day plans in case QB1 Deshaun Watson's suspension lasts longer than 6 games, which it is expected to do so. So we're going to get right into that at the top of the hour. Listen, Auntie, this one's for me and you because the Italian Stallion is on his way back to the NFL as a starting quarterback because it is reported that Jimmy G is going to be considered by Cleveland in the event that Watson's suspension increases. Now, this is going to be interesting, dudes, because you and I spoke about this yesterday about Jacoby Brissett and what that was going to look like, how the team was going to flourish in the absence of Watson, how that offense was going to go ahead and help Brissett do everything he could do to help this team win games in the event that Watson does come back and there's enough time to make something out of nothing. But listen, now the tables have turned. Less than 24 hours, Garoppolo is the only quarterback available who fits the bill for the role of the Chicago Bulls. I'm thinking of the Browns. And listen, if we're going to be honest, he has had more success as a starter than Jacoby Brissett over the course of his career. Rather. So, dudes, I got to ask you, listen, you were high on the Jacoby Brissett and, you know, trying to make it work. But how you feeling about Jimmy G in the mix?
Yeah, I'm not high on Jacoby Brissett. If Deshaun Watson is suspended more than 6 games, and I think he will be, I think Cleveland would be wise to go and get Jimmy Garoppolo. We talked about this, like you said, Ashley, yesterday. We did a preview of the Cleveland Browns. This is a ready-made team to make a run right now. Right. The GM's done a really good job of making sure there's good players at every position. The one position they were missing was quarterback. That's why they went and traded for Deshaun Watson and paid him all that money because they felt like he could get them over the top. So, I mean, again, if Deshaun Watson is suspended for maybe 8 to 10 to 12 games, that's probably your season with Jacoby Brissett. I think you're lucky if you get Jacoby Brissett and you go 3-3 or maybe 4-2 in the first 6 games. You'd be lucky if you go 2-4, honestly. So if Jimmy Garoppolo is out there and he's a viable option for you, say Deshaun Watson gets 12 games. I mean, you talked about it, Ashley. Jimmy Garoppolo's record as a starter is proven, right? With the 49ers, 31-14, right? And I know they say that wins and losses aren't quarterback stats, but quarterbacks have a lot to do with it because they touch the ball every damn play. So if I'm, you know, the Cleveland Browns, Kevin Stefanski, this is a run heavy offense, exactly like he had in San Francisco. They run the football first. So Jimmy Garoppolo, everything won't be on his plate, right? They're going to run the ball, play action, ask Jimmy Garoppolo, get the ball out of his hands. We talked about that defense, right? They struggled in the beginning of last year, giving up 30 points, 5 in the first 10 games, right? But this is their second year in that defense. They're going to be more comfortable. Myles Garrett, to me, the best edge guy in the league. I know Auntie will disagree with that. She thinks it's the Watt brother, TJ Watt. But him and Davion Clowney coming off the edge, like, they're ready to win now. You don't want to waste a year just because the quarterback is going to be suspended potentially, you know, 8 to 12 games. If you still have an opportunity to make a run to the playoffs, if you have a quarterback that can go out there and, you know, don't want to say win you the game, but not lose you the game, then you have to go and do that. And again, Jacoby Brissett is not going to win games, but Jimmy Garoppolo has proven when he's had to make big throws, he can make that. So if the game is tight, I trust Jimmy Garoppolo over Jacoby Brissett. What do you think, Auntie?
Yeah, I mean, Auntie, I'm going to ask you this also. I want to double this question for you. Obviously, we talk about this often, that Jimmy Garoppolo does just enough to be a winning quarterback, right? He's not going to go ahead and do any of the crazy trick plays you see Patrick Mahomes doing. He probably doesn't have the football IQ of Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers, but he does just enough. So obviously, I want to ask you how you're feeling about Jimmy G being considered for the job, but I also want to ask you, how do you feel Jacoby Brissett is feeling, knowing that he's taken primarily a lot of those, you know, snaps with the first team while preparing for the absence of Deshaun Watson, and in comes the Italian stallion galloping like he does, and now it may look like you don't get that job after all.
Right. One, let me just make this clear real quick, niece. If Deshaun Watson is suspended 8 to 12 or possibly the season, like I predicted, I need dudes to come on this show and say, Auntie, you're right. Because as soon as it came out, as soon as it came out that he was suspended 6 games, dudes texted me like 30 seconds after the news came out and said, see, I told you so. So I'm going to need that.
I had been hearing it so, wasn't going to be as long as people thought it was going to be.
Right. And then, you know, he said everything that needed to be said. You know, he talked about 10 minutes and thinking that he trying to be in Ashley Nicole's little spot, like, you know, anyways. But look, he was right. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo is an upgrade over Jacoby Brissett. But, you know, both of them will go 4-2 their first games anyways. But like what you said, if I was Jacoby, one, I'm thinking, okay, like, am I shit? Because y'all think I can only, you know, get y'all through 6 games, right? Now, it's 6 winnable games. And then, you know, after that, you know, after those first 6, it gets pretty tough, right? But, you know, I think it's a good move for the Browns. The Browns, though, are the Browns, right? And so they're going to find some way to mess this up. Oh, wow. Like they always do.
The Browns gone brown.
Right. And then next year, then you think about it, then Deshaun sits another year. You've been out of football for 2 years and you gave this man, what, $230 million?
Mm. Yep. A whole lot.
That's
of
a
cash.
Lot of money. And well, so, and I'm sitting here.
To sit on your ass. Is that what it is?
Right. And I'm Jacoby Brissett. I'm thinking, dang, like I'm going through first team snaps all preseason. I'm looking to be the starter. You know, if I go 4-2, why not give me the reins? Why can't I go, you know, longer than that? And the Browns are simply saying, you know what? We're the Browns. So we're going to go after Jimmy G. And you're right. The Italian stallion with his fine ass is going to come into Cleveland and listen, do his thing.
It's going to be interesting, too, because dude, I want to ask you this. I mean, Jacoby also has to be looking at it from a future perspective of there is a possibility. Listen, Jimmy G is looking for a home. Now, is he going to be the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns? No. Is he going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL? Maybe. Depends on what the landscape of the quarterback position looks like midway through this season and specifically next season. But Jacoby Brissett may possibly lose his backup quarterback job to Jimmy G, depending on how well he does in the absence of Deshaun Watson. Because if you have a guy who may not be the caliber of the quarterback that you just paid a hefty check to, but he does just enough to get you over that hump. And we've seen him do it with the Patriots. We've seen him do it with the 49ers. And if they don't have enough confidence in Jacoby Brissett that they're even looking elsewhere instead of just focusing on what they already have, your backup position may not even be safe at this point, because now there's wandering eyes going on.
Yeah, the thing about the NFL, right, opportunities are far and few in between, and when you get one, you got to take full advantage. And Jacoby Brissett has had a few opportunities, right? In Indianapolis, he started a whole season. Nobody thought he was a franchise quarterback, or they didn't pay him like that after that season. Miami last year, he started 5 games. And, you know, Tua was still able to come back and take his job back after being injured. Now, if Jacoby had maybe lit it on fire, maybe it's kind of like the Ryan Fitzpatrick thing with Tua. Maybe they don't go back to Tua right away and they keep Jacoby Brissett in there. So the thing is, I think Jacoby will still, you know, be able to get a job as a backup. Also, it depends on what they pay Jimmy Garoppolo. Honestly, if Deshaun Watson's not suspended the whole year, say it's 12 games, if they bring Jimmy Garoppolo in, they're going to keep all three quarterbacks. I think they're paying Jacoby Brissett a nice penny, too, to be a backup this year. So all three of those quarterbacks would be on the roster now. Going forward, right, if Jimmy G plays 12 games, he's going to look to solidify himself to get a starting job somewhere else, because we know it's not going to be the Cleveland Browns because of what they're paying Deshaun Watson. You're paying somebody $230 million. They're going to be your quarterback for the next 3 or 4 years, no matter
what.
But
they're paying Jimmy G 20. They would have to pay him 24.6.
Yeah, I mean, they can rework that deal, too. And Jimmy could rework it just to make sure the trade happens, kind of like Baker Mayfield did with the Carolina Panthers. So that trade could be reworked. That money could be reworked. That way the cap number works in the favor of the Cleveland Browns. Not that they're shuffling for cap. I believe they have $40-something million in cap space right now. But for Jacoby Brissett, yeah, to your point, Ashley, like, you got to be thinking like, damn, you know, I went through this whole offseason. I knew that this, you know, the guy in front of me was most likely going to be suspended. I was going to play a handful of games. And I thought everybody had faith in me. Now there's rumors coming out of the camp that potentially they can go get Jimmy Garoppolo. But that's the name of the game, right? Right. In the NFL, as soon as they bring you in, they're looking for somebody to replace you, especially if they feel like you cannot get them over the top. That is just the name of the game. So, you know, I would urge Jacoby Brissett to, like, you know, shut out the outside noise. Like, right now, you're the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns until something else happens. And that's how you have to attack each day.
Listen, this is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm Ashley Nicole Moss. Auntie here, Deuce here. We're going to move on to a team that Jimmy G knows pretty well, and that's the Patriots. The Giants, also the New Jersey Giants, New Jersey Jets, New Jersey Giants. That game is going on. That preseason game is going on right now with the Pats. But listen, this is not the New England Patriots of the Tom Brady era. This team is in shambles because most of the Patriots' offense will not play tonight. Now, the offense has drawn local and national attention, and not for good reasons. If you guys haven't heard, also legendary running back James White announced his retirement tonight. But we're going to also focus on Bill Belichick named Joe Judge and Matt Patricia into prominent roles into his offensive staff. Neither has past experience calling plays or on offense. So I don't know if they're going to go through some, you know, telepathic training, or I don't know how they'll make that work, but there haven't been nice sentiments coming from reporters when weighing in on the practices that the Patriots have had as of lately. Some of the things that were said, there were miscommunications and frustration with several players throwing their hands in the air and shaking their head after plays. Another quote is, it felt like every single completion today was a chore for the Patriots offense. Oh, wow. And another quote, it was below the standard, quite frankly, of the way the Patriots have played offense in the past. Now, listen, dudes, obviously every franchise goes through rebuilding eras, right? You lose a quarterback like Tom Brady. It's not like there's another Tom Brady in the draft and it's easy to find one. It's not like he's, you know, working at Publix or wherever. You just can't find another Tom Brady. So we always expected there to be a little bit of a downslope for the Patriots. Even when they brought Mac Jones into the equation and, you know, other changes that have been made, it wasn't going to recreate that magic, at least not instantly. But it wasn't supposed to fall off so drastically. Is this concerning not only for Patriot fans, but for football fans looking at what the Patriots may look like for many, many seasons to come?
Yeah, Ashley and Auntie, I want you guys to hear this very clearly. Okay, the arrogance, the pure arrogance of the damn New England Patriots. Like, we talked about this before, Ashley. I've always said this about that organization, right? They always feel like it's the plays and not the players, right? They feel like they can always do more with less when it comes to actual talent on the field. So now you're deciding that Mac Jones, who was a rookie last year, had a great rookie season, right? But loses his offensive coordinator. McDaniels goes to Las Vegas to the Raiders to be the head coach. And there's nothing more pivotal to a young quarterback coming into the league than to hear that same voice day in and day out, run that same offense day in and day out, go through the same mechanics day in and day out. So this is what you decided to do, right? Last year, I think it was, you decided not to, you know, hire a defensive coordinator or have two co-defensive coordinators, which baffles my mind. This year, you decide, we're not going to name an offensive coordinator. What we're going to do, we're going to bring Joe Judge in here. You know what his background is? Special teams. It wasn't on offense. We're going to put him on the offensive side of the ball. Matt Patricia, who was a defensive coordinator for you, defensive-minded coach. Yes, he played O-line back in the day, but that was forever ago. You know, his bread and butter has been defensive coordinator. We're going to make him the play caller. This is the guy that's going to talk to Mac Jones day in and day out, and he's been on the defensive side of the ball for the last 15-plus years, right? And you wonder why you're struggling on offense and players are throwing up their hands. That's why I said the pure arrogance of the New England Patriots to think they just know, you know it better than everybody else. Now, granted, Bill Belichick, he always figures a way out.
Is that some
AFC? No, this is
I feel like there's
some I'm mad for Mac Jones, honestly. I'm mad and terrified for Mac Jones because this is a major issue. Like, you're a young quarterback. It's bad enough that I lost my offensive coordinator. And kudos to, you know, McDaniels for moving up, getting the head coaching job. But instead of you replacing him with somebody that I'm more familiar with, somebody that was already on the staff, somebody that I know and I've talked to my rookie season, you're going to bring in Matt Patricia, who's been a defensive damn coordinator. This is the thing that you have to understand, Auntie and Ashley. Calling plays, it isn't easy, right? There's a rhythm to it. It's not just about knowing personnel and like these are the plays scripted for 11 personnel, which is one tight end, one running back. 12 personnel, one running back, two tight ends. It's not that simple. There's an epic flow to calling the game. It's a rhythm to it. Not everybody can do it. That's why the guys that do it at a high level are elite. The Sean McVays, the Andy Reids, the Kyle Shanahan. That's why they're so elite. Again, that's why I say the arrogance, the pure arrogance of the New England Patriots to think that they could go into this season and not have a true offensive coordinator. And the guy that's calling the plays for them, whether it's Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, who was a defensive guy, or Joe Judge, who was a special teams guy, they're hurting the development of their young quarterback.
Well, I want to ask you this, Auntie. You know, considering the terrible reviews that this offense has gotten so far and all the changes and everything that Deuce spoke about, is it a mistake to not play your starters in the preseason? It sounds like they need all the help and practice they can get.
Well, I think every team should play their starters a little bit in the preseason. you know, I do think dudes came a little bit with some
it was some hateration
hate in his
voice.
No,
it's just
dudes, you're not allowed to talk right now because it's 7:19, it's 7:20 now, and I've literally got to talk 20 seconds in this first 20 minutes.
Yeah, dude,
you've literally been talking right, like be the quiet. Whole time. Can I get something?
I'm not gonna say nothing else.
But no, I mean, it just makes sense to play your starters. And you know, like dude said, you know, they lost Josh McDaniels. Why aren't you getting this game time feeling with Mac Jones and his new coordinators or coaches? Sorry. You got to play your starters. You got to play your starters in the preseason. Like every team should, at least a little bit.
Period. Well, listen, a starter that they're not going to be playing, as I mentioned, James White, who officially announced his retirement. He went on Twitter with a lovely letter to the organization, to the fan base, and said, quote, "New England will be in my heart forever. Thank you for the unwavering support over the years. I am forever grateful. This chapter has been one that I will cherish, and I look forward to what is next." Now, some of the accomplishments, just a few of them, of Sweet Feet's career, White holds 3 Super Bowl records, all from the team's Super Bowl win over the Atlanta Falcons, most receptions with 14, most points scored 20, most touchdowns 3. He's a 4-time team captain, and he set a career high and franchise record by a running back for receptions 87 and receiving yards 751 in 2018. Listen, big loss for the offense, you know, especially when you don't have the experience from your offensive coordinators that you would like. It's a little tricky to do some things, you know, with your wide receivers and your wideouts and your things like that. How much are they going to miss somebody of this magnitude and this experience being able to run the ball like only he can?
Right. I think the biggest thing they're going to miss from him is, like you said, his experience. With so many changes in the organization, you still have a young quarterback in Mac Jones, and just having someone back there that not only is an emotional leader of that team, but can play, right? He can play. I mean, you're going to miss him. Like, I'm going to miss him, and I don't even like the Patriots. I like him more than Deuce likes him, but I didn't play for the Jets. But, you know, I like the Patriots now that Tom isn't playing for them. But that's neither here nor there.
You also like the Patriots because they're no longer a threat.
Absolutely. 100%. Like 100%.
They're no longer a menace to society. Now it's you can root for them because you kind of feel bad. Like, oh.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So good. Yeah. Do some quick thoughts on Sweet Feet, James White. You know, how much is he going to be missed?
He's going to be missed. I can't put it into words what he's meant for that locker room. I just want to give my guy my flowers. I trained with him down here in South Florida, my guy Sweet Feet. What he meant for that organization, what he meant, the trust factor that Tom Brady had in this guy. I believe he set a record in the Super Bowl for receptions, right?
Yeah, 14. Most receptions, like, 14.
That was a running back. That's not a receiver. That's a running back catching the pass that much. To me, will go down as one of the best pass catching running backs in NFL history. Again, the leadership that he brought in that locker room day in and day out, was a quiet guy, didn't talk trash, just went about his business. And that's how he was in real life, man.
Yeah.
Real humble guy, quiet, man. Really cool dude. Hell of a career, man. Shout out to my guy, Jay White, man. You know, just want to give him his flowers. And the Patriot organization, they took a big loss with that, right? And he had been beat up the last year and a half. So I think he was, you know, leaning towards retiring anyway, coming back from the injury. But again, just as far as his leadership and trustability, like, that is big for a quarterback.
Would you say future Hall of Famer?
He's a three-time Super Bowl champion, but nah, he won't be in the Hall of Fame. Okay. He didn't have the rushing numbers to be in the Hall of Fame.
I was just trying to see how far your flowers were going to stretch. That's all. Yeah,
that's my guy, but I'm not going to lie on the show.
Dudes, auntie, myself, Ashley, we are in the building, and we are doing our countdown to kickoff segment, where we focus on one particular team before the NFL season officially kicks off. As you know, we are in preseason. And tonight, we are focusing on the Minnesota Vikings, the home of you like that, Kirk Cousins? You like that? Listen, a couple notes from the Vikings. New head coach Kevin O'Connell was offensive coordinator of the Rams. Kirk Cousins had over 4,200 passing yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Pro Bowl wide receiver Justin Jefferson, over 100 receiving and over 1,600 yards receiving, rather, and 10 touchdowns in the Pro Bowl. Wide receiver Adam Thielen returns after missing 4 games with an ankle injury, over 700 yards from him, 10 touchdowns. Dalvin Cook. I mean, this team has a lot of firepower. It's just a matter of, you know, can Kirk Cousins go ahead and utilize it? That's the question at hand. Listen, I want to ask you, Auntie, can the Vikings team, this Vikings team rather, take the crown away from the NFC North reigning kings, and that's the Green Bay Packers?
I needed a long breath before that. The Green Bay Packers have Aaron Rodgers, right? And as long as you have Aaron Rodgers, you're going to contend. And as long as they have Aaron Rodgers, it's not even about Minnesota. As long as Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers, I'm always picking Green Bay to win this division. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, Devontae Adams obviously went to the Raiders, but y'all, come on now.
Right.
Dude, you think? I mean, let's get into some that. I mean, why are we arguing? Like, me and you, we agreeing everything.
Right. But I mean, if we look
at these, I'm going to argue with you.
I'm gonna repeat these numbers again, Deuce, before you answer for the listeners. I mean, listen, Kirk Cousins, over 4,200 yards passing, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So obviously more TDs than interceptions, which is what you want. Justin Jefferson, like I said, over 100 receiving and over 1,600 yards. You know, then you have wide receiver Adam Thielen coming back after missing 4 games with an ankle injury, over 700 yards from him. So you have a lot of talent on this team that can possibly, with the Green Bay Packers losing Devontae Adams, who Aaron Rodgers is going to have that connection with is still up in the air. These guys have already proven you're getting a weapon back. I don't know. Anything's possible. What do you say, Deuce?
But how many times they go? I'm sorry. How many times is Kirk Cousins going to be sent home from practice? How many times he going to be sick? You know, he was sent home from. He was sent home today from practice.
Maybe
like
also,
from an unspecified illness.
Kirk going to be fine.
I mean, we going to see. But I still think Green Bay is. NFL MVP.
Anytime you got the two-time MVP, right, you have a chance to win the conference again. Like Green Bay has dominated that conference the last few years. But I think the Vikings can take the crown this year. And to Ashley's point, the firepower they have, right? I mean, people have been getting on Kirk Cousins, right? And again, we talked about this earlier, right? Wins and losses are not a quarterback, you know, statistic. People like to make them one, but they're really not. And Kirk Cousins, win-loss, he's right at 500. Yes, we understand that. But as we talked about, 4,200 yards passing. Like, it wasn't the offense's fault why this team struggled. The defense sucked last year. Let's just be 100% with it. Like, I think a lot of those, you know, players on that team kind of had given up on Mike Zimmer. Also, they had a lot of injuries on defense, and that was their strength. But now you got Kevin O'Connell, right, coming from the Los Angeles Rams, where Sean McVay was the, you know, the offensive genius there, and he's learned under him for a few years. So now this is going to be an offense that opens it up more. Well, Mike Zimmer, they really wanted to run the ball. I mean, they had a Pro Bowl running back, Dalvin Cook, who will be there again this year. Over 1,100 yards last year, 6 rushing touchdowns. Is a really good, you know, receiving back out of the backfield. Justin Jefferson, to me, is a top 5 wide receiver, maybe top 2 in the NFL right now. Thielen, before the injury, was a Pro Bowl receiver as well. Like, I think people tend to forget that. Dude had 10 touchdowns and over 700 yards in just, you know, 14 games. He missed out four games last year. So in 13 games, he had over 700 yards. Again, their issue was the defense. They got a nice young offensive line, Garrett Bradbury and Christian Darrisaw, who they took in the draft the last few years. Those are good young pieces to build that offensive line. The issue with them, if they really want to upset and unseat the Green Bay Packers, is this defense, right?
Right.
And they get, you know, Danielle Hunter back, to me, is one of the best defensive ends in football when healthy. Last year,
interrupt you for 1 second for people. Yeah. You know, you're speaking about the defense, just to give our listeners some of those defensive stats. Listen, Dalvin Tomlinson and Harrison Phillips, two really solid defensive tackles. Obviously, Pro Bowl linebacker Eric Kendricks is a beast in the middle of that defense. You have Danielle Hunter returns from injury, one of the best edge defenders in football. 6 sacks in 5 games last year, 14 and a half in 2019 when he was healthy. He's paired with free agent signing Za'Darius Smith. When healthy, is also a better edge defender in football, 12 and a half sacks in 2020 when he was healthy. So you're getting a lot of healthy pieces back. Pro Bowl corner Patrick Peterson, safety Harrison Smith. I mean, a lot of guys are coming back, a couple sprinkled in with a couple of new guys. I mean, that defense that you're speaking about, dudes, that did not have the best season last year, looks like, if health permit, can turn that around.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to come down to, actually. Like, it's the defense, right? Again, they were not good last year. They gave up so many yards, a lot of injuries. Danielle Hunter, you said it, Ashley, he only played 5 games last year, but he had 6 sacks in 5 games, which is ridiculous. Za'Darius Smith was with Green Bay, right? They plucked him over to the Minnesota Vikings, and the last time he was healthy, 12 and a half sacks, and was a Pro Bowl edge guy. So now you pair those two guys, if they're healthy, and I've heard everything so far out of Minnesota camp, they have been healthy and they look really good. Now you got two guys streaming off the edge. And you know, Auntie, you're a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know when you got those two edge guys, when you had TJ Watt and Bud Dupree, you know what time it was when those guys are coming off the edge and creating.
You mean the NFL Defensive Player of the Year?
Oh my God. All right. We're not talking about the Steelers.
But you know, but they were the secondary was weak, right?
Yeah, but
what I worry about is, you know, your top two draft picks, right? Andrew Booth and Lewis Cine. You know, you're putting a lot of pressure on them. I'm not, like I said, until they can stop Aaron Rodgers, I'm still picking Green Bay. Hopefully, we'll be talking in 4 months.
Series last year.
Well, who do you? I mean, Auntie, with the subtraction of Davante Adams going to the Raiders. You lose that 1-2 connection between Rodgers and Adams, and Deuce, I know you were on the other side of the ball, but you know, you've been on football teams and you can, you know, speak to this. Listen, it's hard to develop that chemistry, wide receiver and quarterback. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time, you know, that telepathic type of, you know, where he is on the field at all times. And it just, that connection is just priceless. It's going to be hard for Aaron Rodgers, especially because it seems like Green Bay hates him and does not really draft any help. They draft everything they don't need versus anything to help their quarterback win games. So he's not out there at 30-something years old trying to do everything himself. I mean, how do you overcome that subtraction from your offense?
I mean, you make a good point, but Aaron Rodgers is that good. And I don't think, Davante Adams, amazing wide receiver, right? But Aaron Rodgers was that good before Davante got there. And Davante didn't make Aaron Rodgers. And I think, you know, he got some young people, with him. And, you know, I think they're going to cut Sammy Watkins, but Christian Watkins, Romeo Dubs, like, I think these are going to be great young players. And I think it'll rejuvenate Aaron a little bit more. And look, I think if anybody can get some quick chemistry with their wide receivers, I think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
So I haven't lost faith.
Yeah. To Auntie's point, right. And yours too, Ashley, like it's hard to get that continuity. I mean, Devontae was there, 9 years?
Mm-hmm. Right.
These guys, they were telepathic, right?
Right.
He knew where to put the ball, and Davante Adams was going to be there. You know, Ashley, you said they don't really, like, get him any help. They actually did this year, right? Christian Watson, they took him high in the second round. He's injured, and he isn't practicing right now, so that's tough. Yeah. But Romeo Dubs, he's a guy like that, the Senior Bowl. He's impressed really well so far early in camp, as far as a guy that can go up and catch contested catches. And a guy that can really take the top off the defense. Right? Now, Alan Lazard is looking to be the guy at wide receiver. And supposedly, you know, Aaron Rodgers really loves what he's seen from him. And, you know, Randall Cobb, him and Aaron go back years. So they're telepathic as well in the slot. So they got some young players that are coming along. They got a two-headed monster in the backfield. So I would not be surprised if they'd be a little bit more balanced on offense as far as running the football with Dylan and Jones at the backfield, because they have a really good offensive line and they have a really good running game. Mm-hmm. So, to push the conversation forward, as far as the Minnesota Vikings, again, I know Kirk Cousins gets a hard rap because he struggled in playoffs and big games and primetime games. But the offense was not the issue last year, right? And with Kevin O'Connell, they're going to be even better this year. It's that defense, right? If that defense can stay healthy, I know, Auntie, you talked about the pressure that Andrew Booth and also Lewis Cine are going to have to come in and have to make contributions right away. Lewis Cine is made ready, right? Went to Georgia, won a national championship. You know how it is, SEC football. Mm-hmm. He's going to come in ready. Like, to me, he was my top safety in this last year's draft. I really was hoping he slipped to the second so the Jets could take him. But, of course, in the last pick in the first round, Minnesota takes him. So they're going to be significantly better because Harrison Smith is a perennial Pro Bowler, right? He's going to help Lewis Cine come along. Patrick Peterson, perennial Pro Bowler. He's going to help Andrew Booth come along. They're going to give some of that knowledge to those young guys. So I think this defense is one or two players as far as if they can get good contributions from Booth and Cine. They're one or two players away from being an elite defense if everybody can stay healthy. But that is the big if.
Right.
Yeah, it's so real quick, most important piece, MIP for the Vikings to have success and to dethrone the Green Bay Packers this year. Auntie, I'm going to start with you. Who's the most important piece?
Not Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins can, Kirk Cousins can keep the defense off the field, and then the defense can come on the field and do, obviously, I mean, the defense making the most changes, right, dudes, would be the obvious answer, but you know, it's Kirk Cousins being healthy, because Kirk Cousins goes down, it's not even a chance.
Yeah. And I'm going to go opposite of Auntie. She said it already, right? The guys getting after the quarterback, right? The defense. Za'Darius Smith, Danielle Hunter, right? This league is run by passers and pass rushers, right? These guys have to be healthy for all 17 games. And if they are, we've seen what they've done when they're healthy, right? That combination both could have over 10 sacks apiece. So it's going to really come down to them, because, again, people give Kirk Cousins a bad rap. That offense is going to be fine. It's going to be good. They got two Pro Bowl receivers, a Pro Bowl damn running back. Kirk Cousins has been to a couple Pro Bowls. They're going to be fine on offense. It's what the hell is this defense going to do? And if those two guys can stay healthy, they can make a run at that NFC North crown.
Yeah, I mean, only time will tell, but we're going to move on to the Broncos because they're going through some changes, but good ones. And not only in their quarterback position, Damani Leach named president of the Broncos. So congratulations. The Denver Broncos have new owners and have tabbed NFL International CEO Damani Leach as the team's new president. Leach has a quarter century's worth of experience as a sports executive at the college and professional levels and has spent the past 3 years as CEO of NFL International. Leach will lead business operations of the team and stadium management company, which operates Empower Field at Mile High, and will report directly to owner and and CEO Greg Penner, as does general manager George Patton, who's in charge of football operations. So a lot of changes going on at the Broncos. Condoleezza Rice is also a part owner of the football club, which is interesting. Very cool. She's been after a franchise for a while, but all these changes, are they going to result in wins? I think that's the biggest question. Andy, how are you feeling about the Broncos going into this new season?
You know, everybody's talking about your boy,
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, your boy. you know, and a lot of people are talking about how they don't like him, and one in particular. You know, we don't need to talk about all that with his with his hair slicked back and all that other stuff. But look, Russell Wilson can play. I mean, he can play, and I have confidence in the Denver Broncos. You know, I think that they're ready to compete. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see what three does out there. And that Denver kind of cold is different than Seattle. There's a whole lot. That's some different, and you can't hardly breathe anyways. But you know, I have complete confidence in what Wilson is going to bring. And yeah, I mean, they're not going to win anything in the playoffs, but I mean, they're going to be all right.
How you feeling about the Broncos, Deuce? Listen, a lot of hoopla has been made about this.
Hoopla, I like that.
For one reason or another, Russell Wilson, the acquisition, changing in ownership.
Right.
I mean, you know, less ride being the new catchphrase, but is it going to result in wins in the column and ultimately a deep run in the playoffs and hopefully a Super Bowl for them?
You on mute. You on mute, Deuce.
Deuce,
get yourself together. Us? How dude's gonna come on mute? And
I don't know how the hell I. That computer is weird.
He was trying to cuss me out, and you wanted to do it on mute. Then you came back in. Go ahead.
First of all, the Monty Leach, I want to give him his flowers. Right, team president. Absolutely. Shout out to him. You know, for getting that role. Actually, to answer your question, I've had this conversation, and me and the big boss man, Brandon Marshall, at odds when it comes to that. We know Russell Wilson is his best friend. I got love for Russ. Right, I think he's a hell of a quarterback. I honestly think the Denver Broncos are going to finish fourth in that division. I know a lot of people have picked them to win.
Mm-hmm.
I just, from what I've seen from Russell Wilson the last year and a half, I don't want to say he's on the big decline. I never like to say that about players, but it hasn't looked good, right? You go back to the COVID year, I believe 2020, right? First eight games of the season, unanimous MVP front runner, right? Let Russ cook. Let Russ cook.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was screaming it, right? If you look at the history when Russ has been quarterback, when he's had success, when Seattle's had success, it's been balanced on offense, right? It's been a great running game. It's been the Legion of Doom, pass rushers getting after the quarterback, right? Marshawn Lynch in the backfield. Last few years, they were letting Russ cook and banged out of the playoffs first round, banged out of the playoffs second round. They never really got far in the playoffs.
Right.
Again, that year in 2020, they went to the playoffs, got smoked in the first round by the Rams. And people tend to forget, Jared Goff was hurt that game. He didn't even start that game. I think Wofford started at quarterback. Jared Goff came in and beat them hurt, right, with Russ at quarterback. So, again, Russ has struggled. You know, everybody talks about that moon ball. And the thing, he was an offensive coordinator, Walden's offense, and that's kind of like Kyle Shanahan's offense. You got to get rid of the ball. When your back foot hits, you got to let that thing go. And Russ has made a lot of splash plays when he's moving around, kind of playing backyard football. That's not viable offense. The thing that I think helps him in Denver is he has that running game that he had when he was in Seattle when they had success, right? Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, they got a really good offensive line. So if they don't let Russ cook, and Nathaniel Hackett runs the ball, you know, and then if the game is close, let Russ cook at the end of the game, I think they'll have success. I just think that the AFC West is a gauntlet, Auntie.
And they have
Kansas
the easiest
City,
schedule.
The Chargers, the Raiders, I just don't see it. Now, they have a hell of a defense too, especially a front four and secondary. Now, there's some question marks at linebacker, but their secondary is second to none, and they have some guys that can get after the quarterback if Bradley Chubb can stay healthy. Talking about a lot of players if they can stay healthy.
They also, look, they have the easiest schedule in the AFC West this year, right? But
because they were the worst team last year.
But they have the sixth or seventh hardest in the AFC. And so that's nothing that's good for them. Including like their AFC West rivals in the Bills, the Bengals, and the Steelers. And look, I don't think that Russell Wilson is going to flourish as much in the AFC as he did in the NFC. There's a lot of really, really good and mobile, right? He was always known as this mobile quarterback, but now you're in the AFC where there's nothing but mobile quarterbacks. And so does he look a little slower compared to them? And so, you know, it'll be an interesting season, but I agree with you. I think third in the AFC West at best.
Yeah.
Only time will tell. Listen, one thing we have learned is do not count out the magician. That is Russell Wilson. If he can make something out of nothing in Seattle, he's got a whole lot more than nothing in Denver. But we will see.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM Channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight Trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.